It's the only tool that gets sharper with use, yet it's totally soft. This little tool that's only a few inches can destroy a 6'4", 280-pound man without ever laying a hand on him. This little tool undresses people in public without ever touching their clothes. It has the power of life and death in it. Everybody in the room has one. We're talking about the tongue. Every day of our lives, we are tempted to use our tongue to give bad reports on other people. Or we are given invitations to hear bad reports on other people. For example, I can't believe that he... You want to hear the rest? You're on his team? Oh, God have mercy on you. Or, I'm going to tell you what they did to me to see if you think I was right to leave. Or, I don't normally say these kind of things, but I want to tell you something. It's too bad that, or my favorite, I'm only sharing this so you can pray more intelligently. We constantly are given invitations to hear bad reports on others, or we're tempted to give them out ourselves. So what is a bad report? A bad report is sharing negative information about another person that does not need to be shared. There's no need to share it, but it's shared anyway. A negative report is sharing negative information on somebody else without going to that somebody else first and making your appeal. A bad report is using words or tone of voice or even a facial expression to paint somebody else in a negative light. A bad report encourages strife and discord among others. So our aim today is to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 11 through 19. This great passage gives us two vital pieces of information. First, it will illustrate the negative consequences that show up every single time bad reports are given out. The second thing it will do is tell us God's solution, how to cure the problem. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 11 through 19, it illustrates the consequences of hearing a bad report on somebody else. And the context is that false teachers had come into the Corinthian church, and the way they got into the church was spreading bad reports on the Apostle Paul. Now, here's some of the things you pick up they said about Paul if you read through the book. They said, he's really unreliable. He changes his travel plans to visit us. He's really not courageous. He'll write a bold letter, but face to face he's meek and mild. He is really not a true apostle, because if he were, he would be taking money from you like we are. But since he takes no money, he's probably a false apostle. They really got ugly by saying, you know, he's not much to look at and he's a terrible public speaker. They were putting bad reports into the mind of the Corinthian believers, and unfortunately they believed it. And this became a grid as they thought about the Apostle Paul. So in 2 Corinthians, he's trying to woo them back to himself and back to Christ. And our text today shows the three negative consequences that happened to the Corinthians because they listened to these bad reports. We will have the exact three consequences if we listen to bad reports on others. The first one is that it blinded them to the good in others. When they listened to these bad reports on Paul, suddenly they were blinded to the work of God in his life. They couldn't see it anymore. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 11 and 12. I have become foolish. You compelled me. Actually, I should have been commended by you. For in no respect was I inferior to the most eminent apostles, even though I am a nobody. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs and wonders and miracles. Now, he had to defend himself. He had to go back and point out, look, the signs of a true apostle were done among you. Why did he have to do that? Because they'd heard the bad reports. This became a filter. And when they thought of Paul, they filtered him through the bad reports, and it blinded them to the work of God going on in his life. That's exactly what happens to us. I remember hearing an offhanded comment putting down a major minister out of context. And as hard as I tried, every time he comes to my mind, boom, that's what I think of. I filter him through it. That's what bad reports do. It blinds you to the work of God in somebody. Second thing it does, if you have a bad report on somebody, it will cause you to question their motives and mistrust them. It always comes. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 to 16. For in what respect were you treated as inferior to the rest of the churches? He's going to use a little sarcasm. Except that I myself did not become a burden to you. In other words, he didn't take money from the church. Forgive me this wrong. Here for the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you, for I do not seek what is yours but you. For children are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. If I love you the more, do you love me the less? Be that as it may, I do not burden you myself. Nevertheless, crafty fellow that I am, I took you in by deceit. He's using a little sarcasm, but it illustrates how their relationship was damaged because they listened to bad reports on Paul. And the minute Paul came to mind or he did anything, they filter him through the bad reports and question his motives and what he's really up to. You see what he says? If I love you the more, you love me the less. Why? Because I'm thinking about all the things they said about you. And because that's in my mind, I mistrust your motives. This is what always happens when bad reports are spread everywhere. I heard about a kid that met his grandparents for the very first time and hit them both in the stomach and said, "You bad people." Where did he get that? He had heard nothing but bad reports on his grandparents all of his life. So every time they came to mind, that's what he thought. He constantly questioned their motives. This is what bad reports do. You may have a pastor who gets upset with his board and in his family. He's saying bad things about the church. Kids are listening. No wonder they grow up and aren't interested in the church. They think church leader. They filter them through bad reports. Third consequence that always comes. It spreads mistrust to associates. You get a bad report on somebody, that's in your mind, then people who are closely associated with them, it goes to them too. It always spreads. Look at what it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 17 and 18. Certainly I've not taken advantage of you through any of those whom I sent to you, have I? I urged Titus to go, and I sent the brother with Titus. Titus did not take advantage of you, did he? Did we not conduct ourselves in the same spirit and walk in the same steps? Now, he was above reproach with his team, but because they had heard bad reports on Paul, when the team came in, it spread to them too. This is what always happens. If you have a leader of a team and you hear a bad report on that person, then the team who's associated with him, you spread the pollution right to them, and relationships are destroyed. Here's what happens in a family, in an office, in a team, in a church. When spreading and listening to bad reports on other people, hearing negative information that doesn't need to be shared, when it becomes the norm, here's what always happens. There's slander, there is gossip. It becomes the norm. It just feeds. Here's what I discovered. It shocked me. The Bible mentions slander, gossip, 37 times in the New Testament. 34 of those are directly attributed to Satan. The Bible says in Revelation that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses them day and night. What he loves to do in a church is develop a spirit of listening to bad reports on each other. Another consequence that happens, people become insecure. They're insecure for two reasons. Who's going to spread garbage about me, or am I going to be found out for the garbage I've been spreading? So I'm insecure. It causes walls to go up. It causes unbelievers, when this happens in a church, to be repelled. You can read the spirit. And it causes believers to stop growing. I remember my first secretary in Oregon. One day she was crying. And I walked in and I said, "What's up?" She said, I'm questioning if Christianity is true. And I said, "Where did this come from?" She said, "Well, there's a lady who's been in this church 40 years and knows the Lord, and she destroys everybody with her tongue. So Christianity can't be true. She's walked with God 40 years and it's never changed her." This is the consequence when bad reports become the norm. So our text illustrates it. Are you depressed yet? It gets discouraging, doesn't it? Now let's hear some good news. So what is God's solution to this? Because we all tend to do it. His solution is given in the last verse, verse 19. And this is God's tongue tamers. It's giving us a vision of what we can be as children of God. Agents that have him change our heart and thus our tongue, and that wherever we go, we become agents of blessing, speaking good things to people, bringing the aroma of Christ. It starts with our tongue, and the tongue is changed by the heart, and only Christ can change the heart. Now look at verse 19. It gives us two tongue tamers. Look at what it says. "All this time, you've been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it's in the sight of God that we've been speaking in Christ." There's number one. Whatever we say it as if we're saying it in the throne room of God, because we are. Secondly, "It's all for your upbuilding, beloved." Every word that comes out of our mouth is to build you up. Now, there are the two tongue tamers. Now, did you notice, as I read this, there's a little two phrases in there. These little phrases transform this tongue-taming principles from just rules we ought to follow to something exhilarating. It changes it into something that unleashes the power of God in us. And the first evidence that it's unleashed is that our tongue changes. Go back and look at the verse. "Actually, is it in the sight of God that we've been speaking?" And here's the phrase, "in Christ." If you go through your New Testament, you'll see the phrase "in Christ," "in him," "in the Lord," used 160 times. The phrase "in Christ," "in him," and "in the Lord" is the key that unlocks the whole New Testament and the New Covenant. When we believe that Jesus died for our sins, he rose from the dead, and we trust him as our Savior, the Bible says we're born from above. The Spirit of God comes to live within us permanently. 24/7, 365, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that our identity changes. We are now united with Christ. We are in Christ. If you go through the New Testament and study those 160 references to in Christ, in him, in the Lord, you'll find over 50 things that are true about you. Because we are in Christ, we are the dwelling place of God himself through the Holy Spirit. Because we're in Christ, we are forgiven. Because we're in Christ, we have constant access to God. Because we're in Christ, we're declared righteous. Because we're in Christ, we're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Because we're in Christ, we have a brand new heart. And whatever comes out of your mouth, Jesus said, always undresses your heart. The heart of every problem is the problem of the heart. If you go through your New Testament and look at every command given to the believer in Christ, if you study them carefully, you will discover this. Every single commandment is rooted in and tied to our identity in Christ. We're simply acting like who we are in Christ. And the first evidence that we're doing this is what goes on in our tongue. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Forgive those who wrong you, because you have been forgiven in Christ. Be an agent of peace, because you have peace with God in Christ. Use your tongue to build people up and encourage them, because that's exactly what Christ has done to you in Christ. Because you're in Christ, He never, ever, ever stops praying for you. Jesus' spirit is an intercessing spirit. The Bible says in 1 John 2, when we sin, and we all do, we have an advocate with the Father. It means an attorney. And Jesus never loses a case. He is appealing to the Father. I paid for that sin. And He constantly prays. Satan constantly accuses. One of the evidences that we're in Christ is that it shows up in our tongue. The best news in the world is that the root problem has been taken care of. If I've got a tongue problem, the problem is not my tongue. The problem is my heart. All the tongue does is undress my heart. Whatever comes out of my mouth exposes what's in my heart. I love what Thomas Jefferson said. He said, Christianity is the best friend of government, because it's the only religion that deals with the heart. Only faith in Jesus Christ can change the heart. Now, why do we give bad reports on people? What's the reason that we're constantly either tempted to listen or to give them out? Here's how it happens. Somebody hurts me, and I nurse the wound. So naturally, I want to tell somebody else about the hurt. And I end up giving a bad report, sharing negative information that should not be shared. Usually we get hurt, don't go to the person, go to other people. And we become pollutants in the body of Christ. Or I'm jealous of somebody. I'm jealous of their attention or their promotion. And out of jealousy, I give a bad report on them. Or I'm insecure. And if I put them down, it builds me up. Or I'm self-righteous. Every person I meet, I find out what's wrong with them. And they're not doing it right. And then that comes out of my mouth. The real problem is our heart. And only Jesus Christ can change a heart. As a believer in Christ, this is a command from God. This is not an option. We are commanded moment by moment, day by day, to depend upon the Holy Spirit, act like who we are in Christ. The reason we don't reach a lot of people for Christ could be that our tongue has been damning everybody. And nobody's interested in the kind of Christianity we have, because our tongue is destroying our witness. As believers in Christ, this is where we need to be disciplined. Every day of our lives, every day I wake up, I need to remind myself, I've got a heart problem. My heart's going to go in the wrong direction, and my mouth will tell on me. The only hope I have is to go back to who I am in Christ, remember it, depend upon the Holy Spirit, and then it shows up in my tongue. So look at the two tongue tamers. These are for believers in Christ, and they're to shape whatever comes out of our mouth. First of all, we're to speak in the sight of God. Does it send shivers down your spine to realize that everything that comes out of our mouth we'll give an account for? Man, that puts fear in me. I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ one day and give an account for everything that came out of my mouth. Every single word. Speak in the sight of God. Now, speaking in the sight of God includes confronting people, speaking the truth in love. Next week, we're going to talk about the ministry of confrontation. But for now, it's speaking in the sight of God. Let's look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17, it gives us guidelines on how to speak in the sight of God when it comes to negative information. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. If your brother sins, many translations say, against you, you're hurt, you're offended. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. Don't go give a bad report on him. Don't spread it to anybody else. Go to him in private. And if he listens to you, you've won your brother. The reason for going is to win him. We're agents of reconciliation. If he does not listen to you, take two or more with you so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. Here's spreading negative information. Why would you spread it? They are part of the solution. They are trying to help you solve the problem. So in the context, yes, you can share it if they're part of the problem. And then if he refuses to listen even to them, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you a Gentile and a tax collector. Can you imagine what difference it would make if we followed this simple little principle? Somebody offends me, somebody does something to irk me. If I just followed the principle, go to them first, have the courage, speak the truth in love, clean it up, instead of not going to them and spreading garbage about them, which pollutes the whole church. Sometimes you might be called to give a reference on people. And in church work, you need to speak the truth. I know a whole lot of pastors who have paid a huge price because the references on the person they hired, they didn't tell the truth. Telling the truth means that if it needs to be heard, you may share negative information for the sake of the health of an organization or the body. But the principle is, I'm speaking in the sight of God. Second principle, all for your upbuilding beloved. Everything that comes out of our mouth, the ultimate motive is to build people up, to be a healing agent. In your home, married people, are you in the habit of encouraging your wife and your family every day with your tongue? How many times do you say, I love you? How many times do you compliment your mate? How many times can they walk in the door and find, here is a refuge, somebody that believes in me? It's coming out of our mouth. Parents with children, it's amazing the power of our tongue. If we took a survey here today, every one of us could share something our parents said to us that to this day is still bothering us. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. May and I started a habit when our boys were little of putting them to bed every night. Usually it was me in their growing up years. And I gave them what we called the blessing. To this day, when they come home, they like it. Here's what I would do. I would touch them on the head and say, wisdom in your mind. And then I would touch them on their shoulder and say, strength in your body. And then I would touch them on their heart and say, courage in your heart, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They still love that. That is blessing people with words. I'll tell you something that'll strengthen a marriage. May and I made this part of our commitment to get married. We're never going to give bad reports on each other. Our reputation is safe. Isn't it shocking? I've seen a lot of men and women do this. They come to church, share garbage about their mate, and pray that they'll come to the Lord and come to church. Why would the mate want to come to church? Everybody there knows garbage about them because they've been sharing bad reports. We need to make a commitment to our tongue. This shows up in honoring parents. It blesses generations. I did not know until my father died all of the things that happened negatively in his home. Never one time did he give a bad report on my grandmother. And that taught me to honor her and to honor him. He could have given tons of bad reports, but he put a guard over his tongue. All for your upbuilding beloved. Now, there are four terms that the Bible mentions that need to be a part of this. The Bible commands us to reprove each other, but we're not to revile each other. Reproving each other. Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, some translations say, go in private and reprove him. Reprove, retest, tell the truth with the motive of encouraging harmony. In Proverbs, it says this, he who hates reproof is stupid. If somebody comes and tells the truth to us, a wise man responds to that reproof. We're commanded to reprove each other, speak the truth in love. But we're never to revile. Revile, making you vile over and over again. The Bible says we're never to revile. What revile is telling a bad report. It's sharing negative information that never needs to be shared. It is damaging somebody's reputation with no motive to bless them. It's only to curse them or to make ourselves look bad. Do you know what 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says? If you have a reviler in the fellowship, have nothing to do with them. Tell them to take a hike. If you go through the Bible, this is what God hates when we as his people revile each other. We are to reprove, we're never to revile. We are to be discerning, but we're not to become judges. We are commanded to be discerning. The mark of a mature Christian, because they have their senses trained to discern good and evil. It means that you're always checking out the facts. You're instead of giving a bad report, you go back to that person. You put a guard over your tongue. Do you know that Proverbs gives you 50 different kinds of people? The fool, the scoffer, the sluggard, and it tells you how to discern each one. But we're never to judge. Most prominent verse in the whole New Testament in our culture today is do not judge. When we judge people, we're acting as if we're God, if we had all of the facts, and we can pass final sentence on everybody. The Bible says we're not to judge, but we are to be discerning and agents of restoration. Here's a skill every Christian needs to develop. How do you turn down graciously invitations to hear bad reports? I guarantee you, probably tomorrow morning, maybe this afternoon, somebody's going to hand us an invitation to hear a bad report on somebody else. How do you graciously turn that down? The first thing, if you've been doing this, for example, at work or with your friends, the first thing is to repent. Stop doing it yourself. And it'd be a powerful testimony to say, God's convicted me in Christ. I'm no longer going to do this. Wouldn't it be great if every one of us had this reputation? They don't listen to bad reports, and they never give them out. How do you graciously turn it down? Here are some things I've found helpful. If somebody's sharing a bad report, you've got to realize they're sharing their life. It's usually a hurt. But you want to be discerning, is this a bad report? So usually, graciously, I say, do I really need to know this? Am I part of the solution? Are you telling me so I can help you? If it's a bad report, that usually stops it right there. Sometimes it's very helpful just to ask, not only am I a part of the solution, but ask this one. Does the person you're talking about know that you're telling me this? Have you gone to them first? Are you telling me so I can join you in talking to them? We need to learn to say no to bad reports. And if you don't think God takes this seriously, here's a verse that convicted me. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. An evildoer listens to wicked lips. A liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. We might try to rationalize and say, well, you know, I don't give bad reports. Well, if you're listening, you're just as guilty. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4 says, a perverse man spreads strife and slander separates intimate friends. We're going to come to communion today. And as I was praying over communion, a simple thought, it dawned on me. What do I do at communion? I touch two things with my tongue. my tongue is going to touch the bread to remind me Jesus Christ died for that wicked heart that has used my tongue to destroy people. I'm going to take the wine, the juice, on my tongue to remind me the blood of Christ has cleansed me from all the garbage that has come out of my mouth. And Jesus said, do it in remembrance of me. Today I want to ask you to join me in saying, God, as I come to your table, I've got a heart problem. I've done terrible things with my tongue. And I need you to clean me. And I need to remember who I am in Christ. And in Christ, I remember you. I claim your forgiveness. And day in and day out, I want my tongue to reflect a transformed heart. That's what communion is about. I love communion because every time we come to communion, if we do it properly, there's revival in the church. There's examining our heart. There's repentance. There's a renewal of the grace of God, and we walk out his agents. So this morning, I want to ask you for homework to do something. Join me in memorizing 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19. Memorize it. It's a great verse, the two tongue tamers. Whatever I speak, it's in the sight of God, and whatever comes out of my mouth, it's for other people's upbuilding. I want a changed heart. My tongue shows whether it's changed. Would you join me in prayer this morning? Lord, I thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the first evidence that we've come to know you, that we're really forgiven, is that we begin speaking praises, that what comes out of our mouth is joy and edification and encouragement. And if we do speak negatively, it's to build people up, not to destroy them. Oh, Lord, put a guard over my heart so that my tongue will change. And as we come to your table today, Lord, we're depending on Jesus Christ to change our hearts. We pray this in his name. Amen.